The chapter 13, and we'll start our reading down there at verse 21. John chapter 13, verse 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter, therefore, beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. And he then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sup when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sup, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sup, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, "That thou doest, do quickly." Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, "Buy those things that we have need of against the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sup, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore when he was gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Simon Peter said unto him, "Lord, whither goest thou?" Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." Peter said unto him, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." Amen. We pray, Lord, you'll bless our word tonight. Bless thy word. We thank thee we're about the Master's business tonight. Watch over us, speak to our hearts, encourage us in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples. And words of great love. You and I, no matter what age we are, we always know when we're loved and wanted. And we always know when we're not loved and not wanted. Looking down the years, and especially meeting people, you know those that want you, and you know those that are nice to you, and you know those that, well, they may be nice, but they don't want you. You find that. I remember years ago when I was just a little fellow, little younger, put it that way. And some Sunday nights we'd be coming home, and I'd call in my Aunt Madge's with my mum and dad in there. And we always loved to go to Aunt Madge. Now, she didn't bake, she didn't have fancy buns, but she had plain loaf and bread and jam. Now, I know down round Enniskillen you wouldn't do eat like that, but it didn't matter how many slices of loaf you ate, she never said boo to you. "Go on here, have another slice." And man, on Sunday night you go in there and you could eat fresh bread or fresh loaf. You know that one, sometimes you had to slice it yourself too. And you could cut them as thick as you like and eat as much as you like. It wasn't the spread, or there was a love and a kindness. "Boys, I'm glad to see you. Put the kettle on there and get a loaf or two out and we'll have our supper. We're glad to see you." There's other places we go and they're very delicate, and china cups and all the rest of it. And why is it the nicer the house you go to, they always give you these flaky buns? And they fall all over your shirt and all over the floor, and you get so embarrassed, it's terrible. And you wonder, you say to yourself, "Ah, dear." But you know when we're loved. An old church up in Scotland there, my wife used to go to it, and when she was a wee girl, and she would go in on a Sunday, and there was only a few children. And there's an elder, and he'd come over and he'd shake hands. "Well, hello, dear, how are you this morning?" And inside his hand would be great, one of those great big mint sweets. That old man loved the children. And the children loved him. I used to say it was all right for him. He said, well, he wasn't. He lived up in the Highlands of Scotland, and he was the postman and rode a bicycle over the mountains to deliver the post. But he was a godly man, and he was a loving man and a kind man. He knew Christ as a Saviour. And we have here a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's got this mixed group of disciples around him. And we have James there, Peter, James and John. They were close to the Lord. James and John, they were the sons of thunder, so they were pretty loud when they went to preach, I'm sure. James was the first martyr, the first one to die in the line of duty. John, the youngest of them all, he was a young fellow that loved the Lord. Oh man, his love for Christ was tremendous. He was so close to the Lord at times. Well, there was Peter. He was a rough character. He was older than the rest, and he was very outspoken, and whatever he thought, he just said it. Bit of a tough character to be with. Thomas, well, if I would have been there, I'd have left Thomas out of the team completely, because he was always negative, doubting. You know, this negative influence, he was there, doubting. Judas the Zealot, well, he was a real loyalist, wasn't he? Loyal Jew, loyal to Judah. Judas the Betrayer, he was there. What a mixture. This Judas the Betrayer, an unloyal man to the Savior. He showed up well. He was the treasury. He had a great job, and he could preach, and he could lead the meetings, and nobody ever noticed there's anything different about him. But he was thinking of himself. He was thinking of money and the future and business and prosperity and his position. Maybe when the Lord Jesus Christ becomes the governor of Judaism and the governor or the Messiah of Israel, maybe Judas would become the financial exchequer. He was in charge of money. There's the group. And they come into the upper room. You see, this group were the roots of the New Testament church. These were the men that were going to go out and preach the gospel. That's what the Lord was training them for. They go into the upper room for their supper. And early on in the chapter, we read that they all hurried in and they sat down, but they forgot to wash their feet. I smiled, you know, because I was in a queue the other day in a shop in Strip Island. There's a wee woman with a dish in front. And I said, "Well, dear, you're going to go home and wash it." She says, "I've got a dish for I'm going to wash my feet." I said, "That's a good idea. See them Irishers, you can't get your feet well washed." And she was going home. She says, "I'm going to steep my feet." I don't know, but did you ever wash someone's feet? I'm sure some of you have. There's home helps and all the rest of it. But it's interesting to wash. If you've never washed someone's feet, do it sometime. It's interesting. Yeah, some of you have done it. That's why you're smiling. And the Lord and them, they all went to the upper room. And the custom was in those countries, the dusty roads and the sandals. And they would go into the upper room or into anyone's home. And the lowest servant, the newest servant, the lowest servant, would come with a dish of water and a towel, and you'd get your feet washed, and you'd dry the feet, and you'd feel better. You try it sometime. But this time, they all went to the upper room, and no one washes any feet. And the Lord goes over, and he gets the dish of water, and he puts a towel around them, and he begins to wash their feet. Did he do it because he wanted to show up their mistakes? No. I believe he did it out of a heart of genuine love. He loved those men. They sit around the table together. They have supper together. Now, eating in this country doesn't really mean that much, but in these countries, other countries, if you eat together, it's a very great sign of love and friendship. We've been to the Philippines a few times, and if they invite you in to eat, if you don't go, they'll be absolutely insulted. Now, the food you get may not be what you're normally used to, but you got to go in and smile and eat it. And pray the Lord keeps it down. We were in one place and they set out these little fish, dried fish, crispy dried fish. Now they don't worry about the intestines because there's lots of protein in the intestines. And the head especially in the eyes. And the man beside me, he lifted one and he just ate it. I lifted one and sat at the plate, and I started to delicately cut it apart. My wife, she just lifted one and she ate it too. And man, they welcomed her in a tremendous way. And here they're all sitting around the table, and the Lord's sitting there, and they're having their final supper together. And it's a time of sadness but joy. A sign of love and contentment together. One big happy family. The unity of the church we're talking about here. The unity of the early church. Friendship. And the Lord Jesus Christ begins to talk to them in love. Now you can talk to people in love or you can talk to them in anger. Isn't that right? You've all been talked to like that sometime or other. And we read about the Lord Jesus Christ talking to them in love. And I see no signs of bitterness in Christ. There's no anger in him. He knows he's going to the cross. It's just another display of affection and kindness. He says some difficult things here in this verses that we read. But he said them in love and kindness. He says there in verse 21, "Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." Now, he was the Son of God. He knew that. He knew all that was taking place. Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't believe he was the Son of God, so they can't have a Savior. He has to be the Son of God to be the Savior. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he knows all the details. And he knows what's taking place in the heart of every one of those disciples. He knows the very thoughts. He knows our thoughts. He's omniscient, all-knowing Savior. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're planning for next week. And he comes in love and he says, "One of you are going to betray me." It says there he was troubled in spirit. It's hurting him. Calvary's drawing very near. The final pieces of the jigsaw are going into place. It's not going to belong to the crowd begin to shout, "Crucify him, crucify him. We shall not have this man to reign over us, crucify him." But he talks in love. He rebukes in love. We have many today, and when they want to give you a bit of a rebuke, they really shout at you. Get the finger up. Give you a telling off. If they have any authority at all, they love to show their authority. But here's... No, it's not a matter of Jesus trying to get one over on them and saying, "I know what you're thinking, boy." Genuine love. Love to Judas. Love to Peter. Love to John. Love to James. Love to each one of them. He knows that sitting at the table there's a man there planning his betrayal. He knows that Satan's busy working. He knows that sitting at the table, that big man Peter, it's not long till his boasting's going to break down and he's going to weep and sin. Oh, if Judas would have fallen at Jesus' feet, would he have forgiven him? I believe he would. If he would have received the love. And they're sitting around and he says, "One of you going to betray me?" And they said, "Who's that? Who's that?" John's close to the Savior. They're reclining around the table. He says, it's verse 26, "The one whom I shall give a sop when I've dipped it." Well, that was something special. You're sitting at someone's table in these other countries and they lift a nice piece of cake or tart or bread and they reach you. That's a sign of being a favorite. You read in the Old Testament of certain people got a double portion. And he takes the bread and he dips it in the sour type vinegar to soften it and he reached it to Judas. Sign of kindness, a sign of "I do love you." Now, we're not talking about... We're talking about something that's genuine here. We have lots of people say, "Oh, I love you, I love you." And it's only your money they're after. Most of you men did that at one stage, didn't you? "Oh, darling, I love you, but it's your money I want." Isn't that right? You get some surprise when you get married. Anyway, the bank account's not what you thought it was. But here's genuine love. Here's nothing immoral about it. Here's genuine Christ-like love. And the Lord gives a sop over to Judas and he sits at the table. Remember the psalmist said, "My own familiar friend who ate with me, who went to the house of God with me, has turned the heel against me." A sop. A kindness. Oh my, how the Lord often comes to the ungodly and he gives them kindness and kindness. He shows his kindness to them that they might repent. He gives them that extra that others didn't have, that they might repent and turn to him in love. He's calling Judas to repentance here. Oh yeah. He demands love, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye tear one another apart. No. New commandment that I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. He's coming here. We could say this is the 11th commandment. We have the 10 in the Old Testament. Here's one in the New Testament. And he says, look, you're the beginning of the church of the Acts of the Apostles, the beginning of the New Testament church. He said, I want you to love each other. I want you to have a harmony between each other. If you have something to say to someone, which we often do have, say it in love. Many years ago, I learned a lesson. If you have someone to talk to someone, or you want to talk something privately and have a chat with them, well, get a cup of tea between you and them, or coffee. Should it be Costa coffee, or should it be the cheaper Bird's Eye, or Bird's, whatever you call that stuff, get a cup of tea and a bun at least, and sit down and have a chat. I remember a man in Hillsborough many years ago, and I wasn't just the most pleasant little fellow then, but I was going to church, and I was trying to get my way back to God, and this man came out one night and he says, Morris, would you come up on Tuesday night for a wee drop of tea? I said, I will. Now, I wasn't invited for tea too often, but I went up to his house. And I went in, I couldn't believe it. There was a pavlova and there was an apple tart and the wife and him were there and the table. And we sat down and we had a good supper together. And then we were sitting, he says, I suppose you wondered why I asked you up for supper. I said, I tell you, I never thought. Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking. I would love you to be a free Presbyterian minister. Because I nearly fell off the chair. I did. He wanted something to tell me. And he didn't want to hurt me. He didn't want to put me off. He wanted to encourage me. I said, look, I couldn't. I said, between you and me, I said, I'm planning to go to Bible school and faith mission. Ah, well, sure, we'll talk another night. I went away off to Bible school, then I come back a couple of years' time, and I was coming out of church, and he stopped me, and he says, good to see you, Morris. Good to see you've got a woman. I brought a wee girl home with me. Would you come up on Tuesday night for a drop of tea? I said, I will, surely. Bring that wee girl with you. I went up to the house on Tuesday night and we sat down and we'd been through faith mission, we'd done CEF course and we were expecting to go to the mission field and we sat down after the, oh, lovely supper. Wow, it was tremendous. Surprising. Sat down afterwards in the settee and he says, I suppose you wondered why I brought you up for tea. I said, well, really, I never really thought about it. Morris, I still want you to be a free Presbyterian minister. Wonderful. You know, that man was a tremendous encouragement. And we made an agreement there that I would try and do the exams. And here we are. Well, quite a number of years later. What an encouragement. I went to another man who was a preacher. And I said to him, hey, boy, I wonder could you help me? I have a notion of going to Faith Mission Bible. You're going to no Bible school, you dirty rascal. You go home and live for God at home. You can't go to Bible school. Look at the past you have. Yeah, I know what you'll do. You'll go after Bible school and you'll spend other people's money and then you'll lay down and do nothing. No encouragement. Here's a position of love. The Lord Jesus Christ is talking in love to them. He's pleading with this man, Judas. And he's pleading with Peter and James and John. Love each other. Care for each other. Be kind to each other. Oh, you say, hold on right. We've got to hold the fundamentals of the faith, Reverend Baxter. We hold down here in Enniskillen the fundamentals of the faith. Well, hold them in love. Yeah. Hold them in love. Hold them in kindness. Ah, when we have to rebuke someone, you've got to take your stand. Yes, do it in love. Do it in kindness. Yeah. Oh my. How many and they get angry? Well, I was faithful. Boys, I tell them the night coming out of church, I was faithful to God and what I told them. Were you? God says, a new commandment I give unto you that you love one another. Yes, we can be faithful, but not angry. We can be faithful, but not overbearing. Yeah. The 11th commandment, we call it. There's a young man in an American college, and he hated religion. He was an atheist and didn't like anything to do, but there was this group of eight, and they were all Christians. And he thought, if I could get in among those Christians, I could make havoc among them. And he heard that the eight of them were going out for a weekend camping, and he thought, I'll go too if I can get going. So he asked, he said, could I come with you? They said, surely. They went camping for the weekend, and he came back, and he was back on the Monday and Tuesday, and he went round to his minister. And he said, sir, I want to get saved. He says, why? What put it in your head? He said, I was away for the weekend camping with those eight Christians. And he said, I saw the love, the kindness they had for another. And he said, I don't have that, and I wish I had it. I need Jesus Christ to save me. That young man lived a great godly life, and he was one of the first soldiers to die out in the battlefield some years later. Yeah. He talks here to Judas in love. The Lord Jesus Christ talks to Peter in love. Yeah. Verse 37, Peter said to him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I lay down my life for thee. He said, Lord, I love you so much, I'll die for you. And the Lord says, oh, no, no, no. I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow until thou hast denied me three times. He talks to him in love. He gives him a word of warning. He gives a word of caution. He tells him, be careful. What's he saying? He's saying, watch your company. Watch what you're doing. Watch where you're going. Watch what you say. Watch the peer pressure you get yourself under. You see, Satan, he said in another place that Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you. I've prayed for you. Oh, we find here the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we find, what do they do with this love? You know, when you're growing up and you think you've fallen in love and then you get rejected. No, that never happens down here, so you're all brokenhearted because she didn't love me. Yeah. What do we do with love? Well, we read there in verse 23, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Here's John, he's the young fella. Here's a young man. Oh, people say, it's all right, been a Christian when you're older. Look, get to know the Lord and love the Lord when you're young and serve the Lord. And John did this. He's only a teenager here. And we find that he's close to the Lord. He doesn't even mention his own name. He writes the book, but he doesn't put his name in. He doesn't boast about his love. He doesn't boast about his position. He's in a place of love, a place of learning. He's close to the Savior. When you get close to the Savior, you start to learn things. You start to see the world different. He begins to know the mind of God. He's a place of reverence. He says, Lord, verse 25, Lord, who is it? When you get to know the Lord, it's not just somebody you chum about with. It's a place of reverence. It's a place of learning. It's a place of teaching. Because Peter says, who is it? And John is so close to the Lord, he's able to teach others. That's the whole idea. When you get close to the Lord, you long for others to be saved. You long for others to come to Christ. It's not a matter of trying to swell his ego. He doesn't rebuke the others for lack of love. No. Later, John proved his love, didn't he? He took Mary home to look after her. The Lord Jesus entrusted his mother with John to be cared for because he was so kind and loving. Years later, we see him after many years of preaching and missionary work in the Isle of Patmos. Yeah. Laying down his life for his Savior. What happens here? He receives the love of Christ. He fills his heart and life and soul with the love of Christ. What about Judas? Verse 27. And after the sup, Satan entered into him. I think that's a dreadful verse. Satan entered into him. He's sitting in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. One young man sitting there, he receives the love of Christ right into his very soul, that he should love the Lord. He should go to prison for the Lord. He should die for the Lord. And this other man, Judas the man, yeah, the teacher, the preacher, he probably healed at the meetings as well. He wasn't different from the other disciples. in the treasurer's position and everything, and he allows Satan in to control him. He looked like a Christian. He taught me, what does the man on television the other day? He said, if it looks like a duck and walks like a duck and talks like a duck, well, then it's a duck. Well, Judas looked like a Christian, and he talked like a Christian, and he acted like a Christian up to this point, but he wasn't a Christian. And he feels the love of Christ, but he rejects the love of Christ. Friend. Oh, John received the love of Christ. Here's a man, and he's rejecting the love of Christ. This man was a man that was in church. Yeah. This man's a man that was in church. And he lets Satan fill his heart. What for? Love of money? The pieces of silver? His ambition? He lets the devil feed his anger when he saw that Jesus was not going to be the king of Israel. He's not going to get the position of Chancellor of Exchequer in the new country that he thought was coming. His ego is hurt. Do you know what happens? He's sitting in the presence of the Lord and his heart is ripened for the greatest betrayal that ever took place in the world. He's sitting in the presence of Christ. And it tells us here, the Lord Jesus says, that thou doest, do quickly. It stepped over the deadline, friend. His day of salvation was finished. His day of mercy was ended. He's pulling at the ropes, at the cords. Let me go till I betray you. And then the Lord says, okay, go. And he let him go. Now, I believe the Lord does that today. I believe that. I believe there's a time comes when men choose and women choose sin. And they choose what they want. And they refuse to reject the love of God. And the Lord says, okay, go. Go. But it is noticeable here that verse 28, no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. You could be in church. You could look like a Christian and talk like a Christian, but you're not saved. And the time could come when the Lord let you go. But nobody else will know. That's the meaning of this. The disciples were sitting around him and they didn't know that God had let Judas go. He lets him go. He lets him pass on to hell. His day of salvation's over. Oh, that's sad. To think that someone so close to the Lord Jesus Christ is let go. He withdraws his love. He draws his hand, the cords of mercy. The line of the sinner's cross is not known by man, but it's only known by God. Judas goes beyond the mercy and salvation of God. I hope there's no one in the meeting like that tonight. I hope you love the Lord Jesus Christ like young John did. Yeah. Friend, what a Savior we have. Verse 36 tells us about Peter. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said, I'll go, I'll follow thee. I lay down my life for thy sake. The Lord says, you're going to deny me. Yeah. Peter, great profession of love, hasn't he? Oh, he professes in front of... It's a comfortable place to talk, by the way. Peter professes great love in front of all the other disciples. So easy to act like this when we're amongst God's people. For the Lord's saying to Peter, if you think you stand, be careful because you could fall. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Surrounded by the disciples. The Lord warns him in love. Oh, he spoke to John in love, he spoke to Judas in love, and he speaks to Peter in love. John has received the love with a warm heart. Judas hardens his heart and rejects the love. Peter, he's going to have a fall. Yeah. Watch your company. Now Peter went, we know the story well, and he got in among the company. It's been a long day for Peter. He's tired. I forget who the man was. I think it was somebody. I'm not sure the details, but he said, tiredness makes a coward of anyone. And so it does. Tiredness makes a coward of anyone. Peter's had a long day, and he's had a busy day, and it's been a difficult day, and he's in with the crowd, and Jesus is up there being tried, and it's a very hostile crowd, and Peter had done foolishly. He had tried to cut off the head of Malchus, but he only got the ear, and he could have been under trouble for attempted murder, and there's a whole lot of things going through his head. And wee lassie says, you're one of Jesus' group, aren't you? No. And he denied the Lord 3 times. Now, if you had been there and you'd have heard Peter deny the Lord, he says he denied him with oaths and curses, you'd have said, oh, that boy's overstepped the line. He's gone. He's finished. Peter, he'll never be back in church. They only heard the line. You only heard what he said? But inside Peter, with all his faults and all his problems, he loved the Lord. You see here in Peter, the renewal of love. Yeah. Renewal of love. Yeah, we have the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have John who receives the love with a warm, open heart. Oh, Lord, I love you. Can you say that tonight? Lord, I love you. Lord, it's just wonderful to be so close to the Lord tonight. I remember standing at the coffin one day. The daughter came up and she stood beside me. She said, it's so sad to say goodbye to Mum, but she said, isn't it wonderful to be so close to the Lord? Are you close to the Lord tonight? Are you like Judas? You know the Lord loves you and you know He died for you and you know He gave His life for you, but you're rejecting that love. You have your own ambitions, you have other things in life, you have money to earn, you have a business to start up, you have other things to do in life, you have other plans in life, and you say, well, maybe later on in years to come, I'll maybe get... But you know, there is a line that you could cross and you could miss God's salvation. Oh, be warned. Be a dreadful thing to go from a little church like this till a lost hell. Peter, maybe you're like Peter. A bit rough. But underneath it all, you love the Lord. Maybe you have fallen. He loves you. I see that Peter's sitting at the side of the Sea of Galilee there. And they're having their... Did you notice that? They had their breakfast that morning. You read that. And the Lord Jesus Christ has something very important to say to Peter. But he didn't get him out of the boat and him half soaked and wet and cold and hungry and give him a talking to. No, he had a fire lit so they could dry their clothes and sit around nice and warm. And he had fish and bread and food for breakfast. And then he turned to Peter and he says, do you love me? Big, hard Peter takes one of those big, rough hands of his and he rubs it across his eyes. And he says, Lord, Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love you. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Is He your Savior? Is He your friend? What a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Let's sing a verse in closing. We must sing a wee verse in closing. 408. Well, there's only 4 verses and there's no chorus, so we better sing it all up. We have time. 408. I have plenty of time tonight, for there's visitors coming to our house, so I want to stay on as long as I can. Any of you would like to speak to us about spiritual things, maybe God's been speaking to you today. Do wait behind. Nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. 408, we'll stand, we'll sing the four verses, please. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this day. It's been a good day. We've enjoyed Thy presence. We've enjoyed the Word of God. We've enjoyed being together today, Lord. We pray, Lord, that You'll give us love and kindness for each other. Take away the hard heart. Give us a greater love for our Savior. Now, Lord, we ask Thee, take us away in safety tonight. Guide this week, Lord. We give You the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.